In studio, talking with us right now is an old friend, not old in age-wise, even though we are getting older, but known him for a long time. Jim Britt is in the studio now. Jim, nice to see you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, Jim has been spending time in Salisbury, but also he basically relocated to Guatemala. And I remember you talking about this years ago when I was running for the Salisbury Region 1 Board of Education. We met at the Beer Fest, and you said that you were going to be doing this. I mean, quite a while ago. Now, how many years actually has it been since you've been working and doing what you're doing in Guatemala and coming back and just visiting our area?
I left my job in first of May in 2016, and then I moved down there.
All right, so that really does work out about just about right. Well, so let's talk about, first of all, what it is that you are doing down there, because I think it's pretty incredible, and you can tell us what it is you're doing and what drew you to that area and how this all happened.
Well, I lived the life of an expatriate down there, an expat, as we call ourselves, and there are many, many around the world that have moved out of the U.S. because, well, they all have their reasons. But for me, I realized at some point that I would not be able to retire and live here. And by then, I was already traveling every July, a little bit of August, and going down to Guatemala. And after a couple of years, I realized that hey, it was actually cheaper for me to spend those 6 weeks without work down in Guatemala than it was to stay home in my own house. So then I started planning and thinking. I even checked out another Central American country to make sure I was doing the right thing, going to the right country. And then it took a couple of years more for me to decide and have the nerve to actually do it. I kept my two little houses in the Lakeville area, and they've been rented since then. But every year I thought, oh, I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to do whatever it was. And it just all fell into place all at once in spring of 2016, and down I went. And by then I had lots of contacts and plans.
All right. Now, I'm sure lots of Americans, when they hear the word Guatemala, they instantly connect the dots and go Guatemala, Donald Trump, the wall, and Mexico, and everything like this. But let's explain what your purpose is and what you've developed into doing while you're in Guatemala.
Well, what I'm doing down there is, I call it facilitating education for young people that would not otherwise be in school. And I started doing that in late 2011, by sponsoring students through a foundation down there on Lake Atitlan. I live on Lake Atitlan. And so I was involved in paying a monthly fee, and then I began spending time there during my July visits, volunteering and helping. But then I also had a mini project every summer. I would take all the children and the moms for an all-kids birthday party. And I continued that for a little while when I got there, but by January of 2017, school begins in January, I took the children I was sponsoring out of that foundation and sponsored them directly, which saved me a lot of money and meant that I could do a larger number of children, help more.
How are you received in Guatemala, and how were you received when you really first set up and started doing the work that you're doing on a regular basis, and now several years later? I mean, was the reception always friendly?
Do you mean with the expats or everyone?
With anybody in Guatemala.
Well, I moved to Santiago Atitlan, which is a fascinating small town. Well, it's actually the largest city on Lake Atitlan, which is the deepest lake in the Central America. It's really big. And by then, I'd been there every long weekend every July. There is a woman with Salisbury roots, Caroline McCabe, mm-hmm. known here as Skeety McCabe. She has been down there for more than 30 years, and she was introducing me to people. So by then, I was doing that all-kids birthday party every summer. I'd been doing it for years. So, I'm received well, certainly by the expats. They all have their projects. They're all, the ones I know, are all doing something, even if it's just owning a business and hiring people.
We are speaking with Jim Britt, who has been up here for a couple of months, and basically what he does when he comes back, what he has been doing coming back here, is helping to fundraise for the projects for education sponsorships in Guatemala. Now, you worked with a friend of a lot of different people who passed away when she passed away finally after her long, long battle with cancer, and that's Diane Franzen.
That's right, yes.
She was quite a woman.
Oh, just a wonderful person. She became a really good friend, and we worked together for the last 4 years or so.
And she was helping you, obviously, with the education sponsorships in Guatemala. And so let's talk a little bit about now that that Diane is no longer part of this, how this is going to work for you here in this area to raise funds.
Well, sadly, I have to say that it's helped that we got a lot of direct donations, cash donations, at the funeral service and afterwards. And but she and I had been really working together in two different countries because she would raise money here, send money to me. I would take it out with my ATM card at a bank and go across the lake or go wherever I needed to go and use that money to do the education, support the education directly, to buy supplies, shoes, backpacks for particular people that we'll be helping again beginning very soon. When I get back on, I'm going back on July 4th, I'll be very busy arranging, enrolling those kids in school and buying their supplies. We've got a great group of kids. People are always asking me, hey, can you help my child? Can you support me? And so yeah. forth. And I just cannot. It's very difficult to say no, but I've got to learn how to do it. We have to stick with the 14 students that we're beginning the year with.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Guatemalan education system as it stands, and what you saw when you first saw it, what you thought about it, and how what you're doing helps the children and the students.
Well, when I first was supporting through the foundation for a couple of years, I was blind to everything. You just give them money, and that's what happens. You send the money from here. And then I began to really see how it happened, because when I moved down there and began doing it directly, I would visit the schools. I would talk to people. And there are some people who are educators down there that I would speak to about how it happens. But the education system, I can sort of tell you in a nutshell, is that the Guatemala Ministry of Education offers what they call free school through sixth grade. So there are some, but in town, some towns have preschool and some don't. Some start at the kindergarten level. But the kids all go into school a week before class. They get a list of things they have to buy. So immediately, a lot of them just never go to school. Because what might be $15, $25, or $40 for us, to them, it's overwhelming. And so they don't buy the supplies. They get to school, and the teachers don't include them in the class activities. If they don't have a uniform or sneakers, for instance, no sports. So what I'll be doing is, with our children, is meeting them all. They bring me the list. We go to the stationery store, and then we go to the market, and we buy everything on the list. And then they can start school. Some towns charge a fee even before you finish sixth grade. They charge a fee, and they hide it as a cleaning fee or something. So that also is very difficult for people to pay. You know, the kids that... The families that can afford to pay those kids go right to school. But the other students, sure, class is free. Sure, school is basically a building, a teacher, and maybe electricity. And that's what the ministry provides. But after sixth grade, you got to pay whatever it is.
All right. We're speaking with Jim Britt and talking about fundraising. We're just going to interject in here that locally there's some fundraising events coming up that's going to be happening to support Jim. First of all, coming up this Friday, as a matter of fact, on the 22nd, there'll be a fundraising table, which will be at the Salisbury Central School Crafts and Vendor Fair. And then coming up during hometown holidays, put on by the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce, there will be a fundraising event going on at that event. And then in the 2020 year frame, there's going to be somehow being putting together a fundraising concert that is being put together for that. We'll go back to that in just a second, but I want to go now to something that I've always thought about, and I wonder, what are the living conditions like where you are in Guatemala for you, and also then for the people that live there since forever? I mean, what are the conditions like?
Well, the something like 40% of the population nationwide are the indigenous Maya people, and there are actually 22 different cultures, distinct 22 different distinct languages, and that is where the poverty is really at its highest, and they are kept at that level by the government. A lot of any tax money they might be collecting, the government is spent in Guatemala City. When I go to Guatemala City, it's like going to any big city like New York, Boston, Philadelphia. It's you know, you can push a button on a pole and the light will change, and the cars all stop. And whereas where I am, it's quite different than that. I live in the largest city on Lake Atitlan, but I am surrounded by really poor people, and I see them every day at the market, and I know they might be living on a dollar a day. And just to give you an example, our star student, Maria, who was pulled out of school after third grade, many families do this, because she was a girl, and because then there were boys. So the next three kids were all boys. She never went back to school, and she became, you know, the maid in the house and helped her mother. Then when her mother died while she was nursing her baby, Maria took over and became the substitute mom for the family. So she just completed this 2019, this year, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades by going to classes all day Sundays. And she graduated first in her class. Yet, and we're going to keep her going into middle school starting in January. But I just heard last night, despite all of the success, the family does not want her in school. They want her home. They want their maid. They want her to cook and clean and you know, wash their underwear. And all those boys in the family have not really been working. And she has been working for a while now, 11 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 25 cents an hour. That is, even in Guatemala, is nothing. It's peanuts. So, you know, it's difficult. I've been in many households of really poor people. And a lot of some of my other children, they didn't have any electricity. They don't have any water. They've got to go off into the woods and bring back dry wood and cook the water if they don't have a water filter, and bring it up to a certain boiling point for a certain amount of time. And, you know, that is a big expense, clean water.
We're speaking with Jim Britt, who spends time right now, most of his time in Guatemala, but split up here back at his home in Salisbury. Now, you are a family. Your family are immigrants. That's my family. My dad, my mother's family has been here for generations, but my father's family came from Russia. Many years ago, and Dad got his name when he was young. They named him when he came in through Ellis Island. Named him Jacob Miloff, which was changed later to Jackie Miles. But with your connection with your immigration of your family, and now what's going on with obviously the immigration of people from Guatemala up through Mexico into the United States, you must have a pretty interesting view and a first person view of where it all starts.
Well, I'm a first generation Italian American on my mother's side, and I know that even before World War II, my mother and my grandparents came around 1920. During that 20-year period, they were sending food baskets home to Italy. And even after World War II, there began this second wave of Italian immigrants post-World War II. And they continued sending help to that little village where they all came from. And I'm related to probably hundreds of other first, second, or third generation Italian Americans in the area that all came from this teeny little town. And I think that the actions of my my mother, my aunts and uncles, and my grandparents after the war, before the war, really motivated me.
I only have a minute or two left, but I want to. Do you think what you're doing in that town with education in Guatemala helps the problem of people going on that long trek, that caravan, as the president calls it, to try to get to America? Do you think it helps them? Do you think it better prepares them if they're going to do that in the future?
We hope that, of course, they don't go anywhere. Oh. And they really do. Those people that we see in the news, they don't want to leave home. They don't want to get stuck here and not see their families for ever sometimes. They would rather go up, come up here, work, and go home again. And the pressure is very strong for some members of the family to go north. And I know that right now, with climate change and all the issues in the dry corridor in the north, they're leaving. They're going here. And I wish them well. I wish they didn't have to do that. But they're not getting any support back in Guatemala to stay where they are.
Once again, Jim Britt is our guest. And once again, I want to remind, if you want to help out and support Jim locally, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, coming up on Friday, this Friday, the Craft and Vendor Fair at Salisbury Central School. They'll have a table there. You've got a table set up for Hometown Holidays, which is put on by the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce. And is there any other way people can help? Is there a mailing address or anything like that where people can send checks or anything like that?
Yeah. The people that sent donations after Diane's funeral you can send a check to Carl Franson. I believe it's Lime Rock Road in Lakeville, 06039, and someone can just write a check. If they sent one to you, hopefully you'd pass it on to them. Because Carl and Sandy are going to be handling the funds here.
Oh, and who do they make the check payable to?
They make it payable to Carl Franson.
Okay. And then he will then in turn pass it along to you, the money along to you.
Yeah, I don't think it's a P.O. box over there. It's 417 Lime Rock Road. They've been there for decades.
Well, you know, it's good to see you, and it's great to hear that.
Thank you.
Things that you were planning years ago have... It took years to come into fruition, but anything that's worth doing, I guess, is worth setting up and getting into it the right way.
Yeah, thank you. It's sad that we don't have Diane here, but she's really helped before and after her passing.
All right. So when do you head back to Guatemala?
My flight is December 4.
Well, best of luck down there. And because we're not going to see you, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas and everything else. And when's your next visit back here in the springtime?
Yes, I still have my two little houses on Lincoln City Road. And one of them is got great tenants. The other one I've been staying in and refurnishing, and that's available to rent. And I will probably come back in spring and oversee the spring cleanup and planting some flowers and plants and things.
All right, Jim, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.